So, but once those pads come on, Tevin Jenkins is a son of a bitch.
Kieran. Oh, that was good. The Bears offense is just like Tony's Wi-Fi, which is struggling.
I wake up, flex, I'm down and check, no drip, this.
We are back. Why are we back?
We're back. Yes, because Jake Curran's come in, the tackle from Seattle. Oh, no, sorry, your man Sheldon, the center from wherever the hell he came from. No, we're not here to talk about that. Those guys, Connor. We are here to talk about the Bears might have traded someone. Kieran, what do you think about a four-round pick going for a wide receiver? Kane Allen, what's your thoughts?
It is good. It was one of the things that we were talking about when we did have our show on, what day was it? Wednesday? Yeah, 2 days ago. And we were like, we weren't sure what the deal was with the wide receivers. We're like, oh, maybe they'll go after Mike Williams. Maybe they'll go after Curtis Samuel. Then yesterday, Curtis Samuel signs elsewhere, and people are like, including myself, kind of.
I was about to say, including your good self.
What's the plan? And I think that was the main thing. It wasn't so much that like, there's nothing that they can do. It's what is the plan at wide receiver? Because you're seeing guys tick off, and I think if the Bears still had at the time like Darnell Mooney, I don't think people would be worrying because they would have been like, you can get a wide receiver in the draft and you have your three wide receivers. I think the worry came that after DJ Moore, you had Tyler Scott and Valus Jones Jr. So I think that's what it was. But obviously, what happened last night was remarkable and was exciting, and it was very, very funny. Because for me, I woke up because my newborn woke up at 3 o'clock in the morning. So I was with him in the nursery trying to get him back to sleep. He finally falls asleep. I have my phone up and I'm like, what the fuck has happened? I had like 100 messages and it just went off. It was chaos. It was great. And honestly, I don't care that it was a fourth round pick, because fourth round picks often don't become starters and they're usually rotational guys. And I don't think you're going to get the kind of production that you get from Keenan Allen. And that is kind of one of the excellent things that we get to see. You get a proper number one receiver, opposite a number one receiver already. Like, Keenan Allen was the number one guy for the Chargers last year at 1,200 yards receiving. The fact that he has doubled the record of the best Bears receiver in history, because I think the most amount of yards a Bears receiver has had is like over 5,000 in their Bears career, and Keenan Allen has over 10,000 for the LA Chargers. It's a big thing. It was an important move. I get you a little bit more calm about what the offense is going to look like.
Yeah, look, I must admit, I woke up, I was saying to you, I woke up at 6. I was woken up by my 4-year-old, and not to tell him about the news, just trust me, he's not that good. But I was woken up by my 4-year-old just because he wanted to get breakfast. And similar to you, I just saw my phone. I was like, there seems a lot of messages that I didn't expect. So I was thinking there was quarterback conversation happening somewhere. And then I looked at this, and it was pretty damn cool to see. And look, this is positive stuff. I tweeted out this morning about the endorphin rush you get from something like this as a fan of a team and a Bears fan. So then you get to see some reporters, oh, he's 32 and he only played. I don't care. I really don't. I don't care. It's just the buzz that it gets you. And if you can't enjoy that as a fan, I don't know what's wrong with you. But as from the team perspective, it opens up so many more conversations. It does make number 9 pick really interesting. If you're a big Justin Fields fan and you wanted Justin Fields to stick around, you now have conversation that you can say. If you're a Caleb Williams fan and you want the Caleb Williams drafted at 1, you have a conversation in that one as well. So it just adds even to that conversation. But for me, what I love about it now, and I heard someone else say it this morning, you're now creating more options. Whoever's a quarterback, you're making more options of the scenario whereby it's like, okay, it's not just DJ Moore and Cole Kmet that you're worried about and almost let everybody else go because we don't really have to worry about them. Now you're stretching the field. The other one that I absolutely loved, and I looked it up today, so I'm going to say it. So he played the Packers, the Vikings, and the Lions last year, right? So we go with the first of the games, which is against the Lions on the 12th of May. He had 11 out of 14 targets, 175 yards, and 2 touchdowns, right? He then followed it up. Oh, sorry, my apologies. His first one was against the Vikings. So the Vikings, he had 18 of 20 targets, 215 yards, went off. The Lions, 12th of November, 11 of 14 targets, 175 yards, 2 touchdowns. And our friends up north, 10 of 16 targets, 116 yards, and 1 touchdown. In every one of the games, he got over 100 yards in those three. So, yeah, he's looking forward to playing in the cold weather against those three as well. I can't wait.
Ah, it's brilliant. Like, it's even just listening to how people were reacting to it was great. And I don't understand the negativity over it. You're getting a number one style receiver for a fourth round pick. Like, I don't know how you can complain, because realistically, you're probably going to restructure his contract. So it's not just 1 year and it's maybe 2 years or 3 years or whatever, or a year. We'll talk about what it could mean for like the number nine pick, but like, this was a no-brainer, and it was one of those that like, you're getting, like, if Keenan Allen was a free agent, he would have been the first wide receiver paid, because he would have been the best guy on the board. And that's what makes this really, really exciting, that you're talking about a skill position set of, you've brought in DeAndre Swift, you still have Khalil Herbert and Roshan Johnson, you then have DJ Moore, you have Keenan Allen, and whoever else comes in. You have Cole Kmet, you have Everett, who you just signed. You have, even we're saying it there, like, they built more guys in the offensive line. They signed a center that was the Rams' starting center for the last couple of seasons because Brian Allen wasn't able to stay healthy. So what was it? Coleman Sheldon. Yeah. Okay. He's been the starter the last couple of years. So you've built a lot of, in terms of the depth on the offensive line, you've now got a couple of receiving options that, whether it's Justin Fields or whether it's Caleb Williams, it doesn't really matter. You're starting to build an offense. We've always spoke about, they've built a good defense here. There might be like one or two positions we want upgrades, but for the most part, the defense is built. You look at it as an overall for the offense, and while there's still improvements to be done, like, it's probably the best we've seen. And it's the first time that we are going to be confident at different layers of this team. Like, it's always either the defense is great or the offense is shit, or the offense is great and the defense is shit. This is the first time you go into a season that I think you can genuinely see that there can be success on both sides of the football.
There's also the expectation level. If we thought when we were speaking on Wednesday that it's going to be high, it's going to be off the charts now. It just is. It's going to be insane. So, like, if it is, and everyone's talking about it, and I'm not going to get involved with it. Anyway, somebody, if it's Caleb Williams, he's a rookie coming into it. I get it, and I know Tony will kill me. He's on the chat, he'll say it as well. But the expectation level will be insane, even if it is a rookie in year one, because of even a move like this, but also just other moves and the feeling around the place. The other thing I will say is that the NFC North is going to be an amazing division. It's just going to be sensational. Like, the Lions have got better. The Packers, unfortunately, have got better. And the Vikings are sneakily there, and they finally get Justin Jefferson fit. So, while they currently don't have a quarterback, it sure looks like they're going to go up and get a rookie quarterback with the move they made today. So, I think the NFC North is going to be absolutely insane to watch, which is brilliant. It is brilliant because it means better games, better entertainment, and hopefully it means that when the Bears beat them, they don't have any excuses. But this move really does push the needle, I think. I think Ryan Poles may think differently to me. I think we're, as I said on Wednesday in the show, I think we're a little bit further away than other people have said so. But Ryan Poles with this move, I don't think he does think that. And I think now it's going to be really interesting what he does with the draft. We'll get into that in a minute about nine, but the 1 and 9 spot, what he does, especially I think at nine, is going to be fascinating. Because if he sticks at nine, let's say he sticks at one, sticks at nine, and let's say has two more picks. So he's got 4 picks and maybe another one from somewhere else. That's 5 picks. If he's only going to go with 4 or 5 picks, 6 picks, then that's it. He is all in for this year.
I, I would say on that, because yeah, like number nine will be interesting. We'll talk about it in a few minutes, but like when I was kind of looking back on this and seeing people complain about four picks, it just kind of makes me reminisce back to his first draft where it seemed like he had like four picks and then he ended up with like 11. Like the thing is, if he decides that, like, for example, that he wants to stay at nine and he wants to stay at one, like he has some capital next year if he really wants to try and trade and do something in that way. Like there's ways to maneuver around the draft. And that's the beauty of it, especially when you get into even the third round. There's always teams wanting to move up. And if it doesn't work out, it doesn't work out. The important thing is you want to come away from a draft class with at least one or two starters. And that the Bears are going to be at a point of, we always say, and we've said it for the last couple of years, they don't have enough blue chip players. They could end up leaving the draft with two proper blue chip players. So I think that's going to be one of the important things. But what I've just liked is that I think it sets this team up well. You've two of the kind of top 10 receivers statistically from last year, both against man coverage, but also getting kind of yards after carry. The one thing is Keenan Allen's really, really good in the center of the field, which is, it seems like that's where some of the disconnect has always been. Like DJ was doing really, really good stuff. And we know that we wanted to see DJ even coming in at the slot as well, because if he gets to go on like a linebacker or a nickel, like good luck to him. But having a guy like Keenan Allen really helps this team. One, in terms of the size, he's 6'2". You see Everett's come in, helps them in the red zone, but it's just simply he is that reliable receiver. You know what you're going to get from a Keenan Allen. You know what you're going to get from a DJ Moore.
Just before we go any further, so because Tanner, first of all, thank you so much for the super chat, man. Massively appreciate it. So whenever someone does a super chat, we make sure to put that up and we put the question to us here. So I feel like the Allen trade, we're going to trade the first pick and grab a wide receiver and keep Fields. I know Caleb is big, but I feel Minnesota is going to try and grab Caleb or May. Kieran, okay. What do you think?
I am going to say there is no way in God's green earth that the Bears are going to trade the number one pick to the Minnesota Vikings. That it's just not going to happen. If they decide they want to trade the number one pick, I'm telling you, they're not going to trade it to the Vikings. They would rather trade it to the Commanders or the Patriots or whoever else would want to come up. There's not, if the Bears made it open that they are willing to move off of one, the Vikings are not going to be the only team that are going to call them. Now, I firmly believe that the Bears are going to pick at number one. Now, I do, we've seen what the Vikings have done here today where they've gotten an extra first round pick. They're moving up. They're going to, it just depends on how high they can get. I don't think they can get to one or two though. I think those two are pretty much set. I think the Bears are going to pick Caleb Williams, whether people like it or not. And I think then after that point, we'll see how it goes. But look, if they decide to move on, you can get more picks. But at the end of the day, what the trade told me is that Ryan Poles is ready to compete. And if he doesn't believe Justin Fields gives him that best example to, or the best chance to be able to do that, you're not making all these deals just to get to a point and then come to the end of the season and be like, we don't have the right guy. And that's why I just think this is the time to make that change.
Yeah, I agree with you on the Minnesota thing. I get Tanner's point around Minnesota picking stuff up. I think they're going to go after four or five. I think they just want to jump ahead of the Giants because I think they look at JJ McCarthy as the one they want. Not because they don't want the other three. It's just I don't think those other three are available. For me, what the whole Justin Fields debacle is what people are calling, or whatever that whole thing around him not going ahead of all these other quarterbacks. And don't get me started on people thinking that certain such quarterback is better than Justin Fields. I disagree on that. I think this comes down to Chicago Bears thinking Caleb Williams or Justin Fields. I don't mean that as in like comparing the two straight off. But if they think that they're blown away by Caleb Williams in his 30 visit in what is it, 10 days time or whenever it is that he's due to come in, I think that's when they'll make their decision on quarterback. I genuinely believe that. I think if they were forced by their hand to make it today, I think they probably would pick Caleb for a lot of reasons that we've discussed on the show in the past. But that doesn't mean that if Caleb turns up at their pro day and whatever the 30 visit and has a nightmare and just refuses to do anything, or which is not going to happen, by the way, before anyone starts getting on about his he's a good kid. I've seen people online, and anyone that supports Fields and starts blaming, start having a pop off, Caleb Williams is a moron to me. I'm sorry. Caleb Williams comes across as a good kid. Justin Fields comes across as a good kid. Anyone doing either side on either one of the two, stop. Just stop. This shouldn't be a case of that. So for me on that one, I don't think they go to Minnesota. I do, however, think, and I'm probably the only one on the show, that it's not 100% lock that they go with Caleb. I don't think it's an absolute guarantee. I think there is a small piece of percentage, not much of a percentage, but I think there is something there. And it comes down to that top, that 30 visit. I think if Caleb does what he should do, and I can't see why he wouldn't, then it is a lock for me. But that's where it is. So Tanner, thank you so much for the super chat, my man. We do massively appreciate it.
Yeah, I feel like it all comes down to the medical. If the medical's clean, I think he's the pick. I think that's the way it's going.
Sorry, that's what I meant as well. So it's the top 30, it's the medical, it's that whole thing. And we know this because Ryan Poles last year with Darnell Wright said it, where Ryan Poles had him like running around like a mad thing and just doing like pushing him to the edge and seeing his reaction. I think that's what they're going to try and do with Caleb, and then see the reaction. And I'm pretty confident Caleb won't have a problem doing that. His dream is to be the number one pick. He was in the, what's it called? He was at the players tournament and he was getting loads of cheers and he was under his breath heard say there must be a lot of Bears fans here. So again, it's pointing in all that direction. But look, who saw this coming? So who knows?
Yeah, like there was a question here. Do they get the medicals at his pro day or at his 30 visit? He'll give it to them at the 30 visit. Now the pro day is on Thursday. And I would suspect that the Bears will probably want him to come in either that weekend or early the next week. I wouldn't be surprised if they're essentially going back at the same time, because they're going to want, and the reason why I think the weekend is, I think they're going to want to try and, if they can get in on like a Friday night and have him meet with officials from the team and then have his actual like medical and then have his proper visit on the Saturday, and then they can do something on the Sunday before he goes back out to California again. I think that's probably what they would rather do, spend as much possible time as they can. Because look, if Caleb Williams gets the indication that the Bears are going to take him at number one, he doesn't need to do a 30 visit for anybody else. And he probably knows that. And the fact that he's done what he's done with the medicals, I think he's probably going to do something like that. If he's told that the Bears are most likely taking him, he might do one with the Commanders, but I don't think he'll do one with 4 or 5 or 6 other teams, because he's not going to waste his time doing that if he knows he's going number one. But it is going to be interesting.
Let's move back to Keenan Allen, because Caleb Williams thinks the bits.
I think people need to look at it is, I think this is a good move regardless of what they do.
Correct.
Because whether it's okay, let's just say if they go the Oppo route that we don't expect, that they're keeping Justin Fields and trading down and they can pick Marvin Harrison and all that sort of stuff, you are putting Justin Fields in a really good position to be a successful quarterback, because you're having matchups against different types of defenses where you might be able to put DJ Moore in at the slot position. You might be able to put him on the outside and different things like that. It's always good to get more options and more quality wide receivers. Like, we've never had it. Like, as you can see on like the side of our screen here, Allen and Moore, is it the best Bears wide receiver duo? I think the only one that even is remotely close is when we had Brandon Marshall and Alshon Jeffery. And I would still take DJ Moore and Keenan Allen over that. So Bears fans have never actually had this, where you have two legitimate receivers and there's the potential that you could possibly get a third if the draft falls your way at 9. So that's where it becomes really, really interesting for this. But I think this is just a really smart move. Ryan Poles has probably seen that the Chargers were going to be in trouble when it came to the cap. He probably, the fact that you had his wide receiver coach in the building as well helps as well. He probably had a little of an inside track on what could be happening with Keenan Allen, and the Bears went for it. And you have to hand it to Ryan Poles. He's trying to build a team full of talent. I know people are killing him because he only has 4 draft picks, but you have to remember, you have an all pro edge rusher that you basically get with your second round, and you're getting a top receiver with a 4th round pick.
Those people will, the sun is shining, they look for a cloud. Like that's who these people are. Like I on Wednesday, I put out a tweet yesterday about Ryan Poles' offensive picks, and I stand by that tweet. I still think this is a fantastic example. We haven't seen him on the field. Hopefully he goes on the field and shows it. But you got to give him credit when he deserves credit. He stuck it out. He thought about it. You obviously are right. He may have had this sneaking feeling. Maybe he met somebody at the combine who had mentioned it to him or whatever. And it worked out for him. And that's a really good pick. And it makes all the Bears fans feeling really happy. I still am intrigued as to what he does if he picks his own players from the draft offensively, because that's where I think he may have had a couple of question marks on his tenure so far. No problem at all picking defensive players in the draft. He just had a couple of problems with offensive players. So hopefully he shows that again with these picks. And that's why it wouldn't surprise me if he stays at 1-9. Really wouldn't, because of that, because he wants to go and get those 2 offensive players and kind of really, as you said, blue chip players. And these blue chip players don't cost anything for 5 years. That's how I'm feeling. Yeah. What he's looking to do. And I think for the next one is what's next for the Bears. For me, the next step is we're now looking at just getting little bits and pieces like we've done the last couple of days before last night.
Yeah.
Getting pieces, fill it in, keep going, looking to see if we can pick up somewhere we can. Like, there's some weird places that you can start looking. I would honestly be looking to see if there's a punter out there. I don't necessarily like Trenton Gill. I know that's something small and pointless, but it's, you get, those are little things that help you grow. From
Ryan, sign one of the Irish lads. Get one of those lads in.
They were brilliant, by the way. They've all got agents now. They were fantastic. Thumbs up to those guys. Must get one of them onto the show. Fantastic to see. Get all those guys there and then start looking at, let's say, the edge side is obviously an interesting one. I saw people were looking at Yannick Ngakoue to get him back if his ankle is survivably there. Not the worst idea I've ever heard in my life if you can get him on a diddly squat deal, as they say in Paddy's Weekend. But those are the kind of moves you want to be making now. Start thinking about what we're going to do. And but again, it's such a positive day around this. It's such a, like, as Bears fans, we've had to listen to some almighty crap from people. I was listening, and again, I was somehow drawn into something to do with the Lions, and I made the mistake of questioning about their defensive end might have injury issues. Jesus Christ, they nearly killed me, because you can't even say a word against their GM, who is, I'm now calling him GM Jesus, right? That there's not a word that can be said about him. And like, so they all went apoplectic. And how I know this move was brilliant is because I haven't got a message off any of them. Normally I'm getting loads of stuff. Oh, he's old, he's fat, or not a message off him. And that's what makes this even more sweeter for me. It's just another good day to be a Bears fan. And yeah. Also, Greg Baggs Jr. is probably going to eat now, because he had gone on hunger strike.
I believe him. He definitely
look, he said it. Definitely, I want to know what he said.
Oh yeah. I went on hunger strike too yesterday. I just had beef brisket. So that's
Good morning, Illinois Jones. Man, for me, it's 4:30 in the afternoon, but good morning to you, Illinois Jones. Good morning to you, my man.
Yeah, absolutely. Look, it is great. Like, there's a lot of positivity. Like, Ryan Poles controls the board right now, and it's an incredible feeling. Yeah, it really is. And look, it's gonna be really, really interesting. Like Michael says here, the draft seemed so far away, but now when you look at it, we're at the 15th of March already. There's, once like the Easter gets out of the way, you're like, oh my god, it's only about 3 weeks until the draft happens, and finally all the talk about the quarterbacks can be put behind us and we'll know what the direction is. But like, that's what makes this really, really important. And look, one of the things, and we have it as our kind of our last topic here before we end this kind of short show that we have today, is when it does come to 9. Like, I think the Bears are still going to stick at 1. So I think we're going to leave that for now. But at 9, I think the fact that you make this move, if they do sign like an edge rusher, like a veteran edge rusher, I don't know who they might go after. Like, I don't know if it's a possibility, if they've decided that Fields is getting traded, do they possibly do what we saw the Atlanta Falcons do, try and do a player for player trade for maybe an edge rusher that might be out of favor somewhere else? Or is there a guy like a Chase Young that they still want to bring in and kind of have a look at? Or are they happy with having Walker opposite Montez Sweat? What I like about the situation that you're at now is at nine, you can actually do whatever happens. Like, if one of these wide receivers falls, like, let's say a Neighbors or a Dunze falls to number nine, take them. Because you then get put in a situation where if Keenan Allen is going to go at the end of just 1 year, and that's all it is, you've had somebody in behind him learning from him and DJ Moore, and you're getting an extremely talented guy there. If it doesn't work out, and this is what we've said, like, let's say the Vikings do trade up to four, but then the Chargers are at five, they could go Marvin Harrison Jr. The Giants may not be able to then get a quarterback, so maybe they go Malik Neighbors. Maybe somebody trades up with the Atlanta Falcons or the Tennessee Titans and takes a receiver, and then suddenly none of them are there when the Bears are at nine. Well, then it means you can then just take an edge rusher or take a left tackle. And that's what I really, really like. I just like the fact that there's the openness to where you actually can do what you want. And if the player, let's just say the right wide receivers were the guys that they were at, aiming for at nine, and suddenly they're gone, and there's multiple edge rushers you like, but there's somebody that wants to move up, well, then you have that ability to move back and not be too worried. And that's what I like. It's not chasing someone, because that was my issue, is if they didn't do something at wide receiver, I would feel like they'd almost have to even try and trade up and get one of the wide receivers, because you would have nothing there. I think now Ryan Poles, once he makes that number one overall pick, can just wait and see what happens in front of him and doesn't have to show his hand.
It's best player available now. I totally agree with you. It's no longer the desperation to get that left tackle or edge rusher or that wide receiver. It's not as massively big. And I'm with Broski Bear. Great to have you back, man. You are one of the real Irish Bear Show heroes. You're on every single time. I don't agree with everything you say, man, but I'm delighted you come every single time. There's not much return value trading down at nine. The return comes from trading at one. Whether you keep Fields or not, go that way, Bears have to draft at least MHJ or Neighbors. Don't agree with you with having to get MHJ or Neighbors. Me personally, don't agree with that. Marvin Harrison Jr. is a sensational, absolute. He is generational, potentially. Malik Neighbors is going to be, would have been the best wide receiver had there been no MHJ. I think there's so many other wide receivers that are there. That is opening to that. For me, I think when it gets to nine, I'll be open and honest, and I said it on Wednesday, I am praying that Joe Alt is somehow still there. He's not going to be. Mm-hmm. He's going to go to the Titans at seven. I can almost write that.
He'll go to the Titans.
Unless the Titans kind of somehow back out of there. But
they've spent in all other positions, and there's still that glaring hole at left tackle.
I get it.
Probably likely.
But he is, for me, if someone said to me you had one choice to get, realistic choice to get at nine somehow, that's the one I want, because I still want a left tackle that I can sit there and go, yeah, I got my right tackle, I got my left tackle, I'm happy to go. I've had this conversation before. What I think, I'll do a quick one for you, and Kieran, it's very unfair of me to charge you because I threw it. Like, my top 10 that I think will end up going, I think Williams goes to the Bears, I think May goes to Washington, I think Daniels goes to the Patriots, I think MHJ goes to Arizona, I think the Vikings go to five, get JJ McCarthy, Neighbors goes at six, Joe Alt goes at seven, and I think Dallas Turner goes at eight to Atlanta. I think then you're left at nine, right? Roma Dudze, the tackles, Fatu, Fuinga, Versi, Latu, or Adunze, right? And I think at that point, if he's got those options at nine, I don't think a lot of people will try and get up to nine, because in my eyes, the rest of them that are there, they would have been wanting a quarterback. So the Raiders would have wanted a quarterback. Who else would have wanted? The Vikings would have gone up already. There's a few others that would have wanted a quarterback. So I think the Bears won't get the offers that they want to run out of nine. And I think they'll come out of there with Roma Dudze. And I think if that is the case, if the Bears come out of day one of the draft with Roma Dudze as wide receiver three, let's call it that, I think that's an amazing, amazing scenario for the Bears to get into.
Honestly, that's, for me, is the best case scenario. And I agree with you for the most part there. I think in terms of it'll be Williams at one for the Bears. I actually think that the Commanders are going to go Jaden Daniels. I don't think they should. I think they should go Drake May, but I think they will go Jaden Daniels. And then the question comes in, can Minnesota get up to 3? Or are they going to have to go for J.J. McCarthy a little bit later? But I'm going to take this right now as New England won't want to go all the way back to 11. So I think that they go Drake May, and then I think the Vikings move up. I think they move up to 4 because you can't move up to 5 and then suddenly someone moves up to 4 and then you don't get your guy anyway after trading 2 first-round picks, because it means you can't even trade until the draft day if you can't get 4. Because let's just say it's because the Arizona Cardinals don't want to go outside the top 10 and then they trade to 5. Well, then the Giants can just jump you and go to 4, and then the Cardinals are still picking at 6. So, like, that would have to be the worry for the Minnesota Vikings. And I think the fact that they have moved this first trade, I think they probably have a basis of a deal done already. I don't think you do that if you don't kind of know where you're going. And I actually think that they're going to trade up to 4. So I think J.J. McCarthy will go 4. Then I think you have the Chargers, and I think they're going to go Marvin Harrison Jr. I think the Giants are going to go Rome Odunze, because I just think he's the type of receiver they always go after. And then I agree with you. I think the next two are going to be Joe Alt and Dallas Turner, and I think the Bears are going to pick Malik Nabers if he's there. The only thing I would say, and it's kind of a similar one for you, you've mentioned like Fashion Nufuaga, all that sort of stuff. The team that's right behind the Bears is the New York Jets, and they've made it pretty much known that they want to get a tackle. So maybe a team tries to jump them to get a tackle. That's I think the only interesting one. I don't think a team is gonna, because they're the only positions teams trade up for: left tackles and quarterbacks. No, like, the quarterbacks will be gone in the first 5 picks, so that's not gonna happen. I think the only way is if a team wants to jump the Jets to get a left tackle. That's what I think could work. Look, maybe Harbaugh will go tackle. I just think Marvin Harrison Jr. I think that's probably, especially after them losing Mike Williams and now losing Keenan Allen, I would be very surprised if they don't go Marvin Harrison Jr. and at least have something on offense for them. Like, they lost Eckler as well. They've lost Everett. They need to start building on the offense. So I would be surprised if they don't take that. Look, obviously, I think they'd prefer if they could trade down and get a load of picks, but I think that's likely what's going to happen. But look, I agree with you, Ant. I think it'll get to a point, and I think the Bears, if they like both Odunze and Nabers more than the edge rushers, I think they're just going to make that pick. Because if you can come away with and have an offense of DJ Moore, you have Keenan Allen, then either Odunze or Malik Nabers, you're laughing. Because, like, yep, even if Keenan Allen only lasts a year, you have his replacement straight away. And that's kind of what you want to be able to do. And I've said it all along, no matter if it's Justin Fields or if it's Caleb Williams, you want to build the infrastructure. And this is the first time we're seeing the Bears or a Bears GM building an infrastructure around a quarterback, whether that's Justin Fields or whether it is Caleb Williams. If it's Caleb Williams, I hope that they do take at 9 one of the wide receivers. If they decide to stick with Justin Fields, I don't want to go far back, because if you are trading away from Caleb Williams, you better get Marvin Harrison Jr. Like, those are the only two options for me. Like, you either think, get Williams, yeah, or Harrison.
Yeah, I think for me, yeah, I'm not going to go down that road again because we'd be here all day. But I think it's an interesting one. What Tony said, to be fair, I just want to leave it up there because, you know, I wanted it, and I did it in Tony's accent as well in my head. Where did he say it here? I'm not going to do that to you, especially with Ireland playing Scotland this weekend. I'm not going to do that. You know what's going to happen, lads. We're going to see a player rise up through the draft boards and mocks before the big day. Lots of shoveling to take place yet. I think that's happened a little bit already, if I'm honest. I think a lot of that's I agree with you, by the way. There's still, 40 days to go. So, of course, loads of things can happen. And people, there's agendas out there as well that people try and get people in the media to try and get guys to fall down to their team. So I accept all those things. And people are a bit gullible when it comes to that kind of stuff. But I think that's happened already with some. I think Rome Odunze has definitely flew up the charts. I think the some of the other wide receivers that were predicted for the second and third round now could end up going in the end of the first. Into the top 10, I don't know. But again, you could be right, especially the tackles. Karen, you always say that tackles are ones that sneak into the top 10. What I do think is expect the absolute unexpected in the NFL draft, because no one could have predicted some of the stuff that went on last year, and trades all over the place on draft night. That's why we're here for 450,000 hours of the draft. If anyone knows this show, has been this show for the time we started up, this is the marathon that is the NFL draft on the Irish Bear Show. And we don't care what time it is, we go flying as it is. But yeah, look, today's
now granted, if Ryan Poles trades that other fourth round pick, we ain't doing day three. I can tell you that much, because there'll be no picks.
No, I'm not sitting there to watch the Packers have 57 picks or whatever they have. I think this is going to be fascinating. And I think the whole move forward, I'll say this now, if the Bears come out of day one with any of the kind of like headline edge rushers, headline wide receivers, Joe Alt, as I mentioned already, there's seven players I've just mentioned. If any of them come out of those things, no, Tony, I'm not doing the accent, man. I can't. I'll let you try and do my accent when you're on next time. I love this from Michael. What are they? Oh, this is a great question. Where has he gone? There, sorry, Broski. What are the Bears going to do with Velus Jones? Kieran, what are the Bears going to do with Velus Jones? Don't, poor lad.
He tries his hardest. He's just a terrible player.
He costs us nothing.
Fuck him, get rid of him.
yes, Crimson, I know, seven players, four picks. I'm talking about what they get out of the first day, not out of the whole thing. I'm not expecting the Bears to end up with the three best wide receivers and the three best head rushers. That's not what I meant. Put him in the retirement home. That's also harsh, Tony. That is a bit harsh. But this is a good day to be a Bears fan. Good day to be a Bears fan. Even though somebody's like Mark Politish is telling us that we shouldn't enjoy it because, you know, he doesn't know where sunshine is. Go away.
I don't know about the reporters and stuff that just get all pissy when it gets to this time. Like, what are we doing here? Like, we're trying to, like, this is the first time I think the Bears fans can actually see a GM with a plan where you can actually see they're trying to build something properly. And you have reporters complaining about, look, the same reporters that complain about the age of a Keenan Allen will be complaining if they sign some 22 or 23 year old and then some other team traded for Keenan Allen. They'll be like, why didn't you make that move? Like,
correct.
That's the problem, is that some of these people are constantly covering the team because the team has been so bad for so long, they just can't get it out of their heads to try and look at the positive side of where it might actually work for this team, because they're so used to it not working. And that's what's going to be really, really interesting. Oh, I can't wait to like the fact that we can just like slag off the Lions fans being like, we had the best draft in your city. See you later, lads.
The best part is that Muppet of a wide receiver is probably going to be there slagging everyone off again. Only he can't talk to his brother because the likelihood of his brother being in the Bears is quite low. This has been a good show. To everyone that's jumping on Twitter, to everyone that's on the chat here, make sure you like the show, make sure you subscribe to the show, get involved with us. We do loads of different things on the Irish Bears Show. We have in the next couple of weeks, once everything calms down before the draft, we'll be doing another one of our crazy let everybody on the show and have whatever we want to say shows. We'll be doing live shots from my shed, from Karen's front room in draft night. We'll have Tony coming in. And then we'll have as many guests we possibly can. Get following us, get subscribing to us, get involved with us as much as possible. Massively appreciate all the guys in the chats, especially the guys who are first timers here. Brilliant. But to the guys who've been here all along, you don't realize how cool it is to see your names pop up, to see you guys involved all the way. Bruja, man, love you to bits. You've been here from the very start. All those guys, you all know who you are. Massively appreciate every single one of you. And Heidi, how are you getting on? And everything like that. So look, enjoy today. Enjoy this. Like, just, we don't get many days like this where we get a player of this ability into the Chicago Bears. So enjoy it. And yeah, looking forward to show next week. But I'm sure Tony will be back, and we'll be back talking about the quarterback, and we'll be back talking about other ones, other scenarios, other situations.
Ah, yeah, maybe if everything settled down, we might actually dig into a little draft stuff. Because no, we haven't done too much of that just yet, because we've been focusing on free agency, but that will be coming.
Can I throw one out to you? Right, because I'm obsessed with tight end three. Right, I'm obsessed with it. Right, everyone who
just because you want Theo Johnson.
Theo Johnson, man. Theo Johnson. Right, just Theo Johnson is the tight end three everyone wants. I know everyone's talking about Cole Stover, the Ohio State guy, and there's another really good guy. I can't believe I forgot his name. Ben Sinnott, really good guy. Keep an eye on tight end three. I think if we have somehow found picks at the end, we'll try and wrap one of them up. But yeah, I'm desperate to get one of those things. And as Tony says, or someone, who's it? Mike, first of all, it's not Patty. Oh, first of all,
oh, we're only offering for 10 minutes here.
It's just not. It's St. Patrick's Day or Paddy's Day, not Patty. That's a burner, no? Exactly, Tony. Paddy. This is fantastic. Yeah, appreciate all your time to join in. Brilliant to get in the show again. 905 of you is watching. Make sure you like
and and congratulations to Keenan Allen, who's going to be receiving $5 million on St. Patrick's Day. So well done. You got your as people like to say, he got his pot of gold on going to get his pot of gold on Paddy's Day.
Frosty's lucky charms are going to be saying next.
I know.
Massey, appreciate everybody. Have a great weekend. Enjoy yourselves.
Talk to you later.
Good luck.